Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. This is the first piece of armor that Paul calls upon us to put on. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. First job I had when I got out of college was that of being a bank teller with First Security Bank back in 1981. First job I was ever fired from, too. I couldn't stay in balance. I remember after I got audited for the first time, the auditor said, why haven't you been fired? I said, I don't know. Well, the next day, the manager of the branch came in and said, look, we like you, but you need to find something else to do. I agreed. I could not stay in balance. But I remember in the training, we were trained as to how to detect counterfeits. And you know how we were trained to detect counterfeits? To become thoroughly acquainted with what a true bill looked like. Not by studying other bills, but by studying what a true U.S. dollar bill looked like, or a $20 bill, or a $50 bill, or a $100 bill, and seeing the fiber and the colors and so on, you were to become thoroughly acquainted with what that looked like. And we spent some time him describing it, and then when we became acquainted with that, he brought out some counterfeits. You knew them right off the bat. And the way that we'll understand counterfeits is if in our hearts, by the Spirit of God, by His grace, we're thoroughly acquainted with the truth. Now, this is the first piece of armor mentioned, and there is a reason it's mentioned first. I can't put on any of the other pieces unless this is first put on. This belt or garment of truth, this girding of the truth. Truth is the belt that holds all the other pieces of armor together. And if the truth is not my foundation is no good. I've been defeated before I ever began. And I cannot get any of these other pieces of armor on until this belt is put on first, the truth. If the truth is not my foundation is no good. And let me say this. By the truth, I don't simply mean accurate propositions. Although in declaring the truth, there are accurate propositions. But we're going to see how I mean more than that, I hope, during the course of this message. Now, the first thing that came to my mind is Pilate's question to the Lord. After he said to him, I came to bear witness to the truth. Does anybody remember what Pilate said? What is truth? What is truth? And he could have meant, is there such a thing? Is there absolute truth? What is truth? Is there such a thing? Or he might have meant, well, sure, there's truth, but can we know it? Are we so proud and presumptuous to think that we've got the truth and we know the truth? Can we even know the truth? Here's what I think he meant. Truth. Is this what this is about? You're getting ready to be nailed to a cross. Truth? Is it worth this? The answer is yes, there is absolute truth. Yes, you can know the truth. The Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And yes, it's worth this. By the Lord being nailed to that cross, he accomplished the full glory of his Father. and the complete salvation of everybody he died for. Yes, the truth, there is truth. Yes, the truth can be known. And yes, the truth is worth all of this. Now, truth is defined as being in accord with fact or reality. I think that's a good definition. Truth is defined as being in accord, in agreement with fact or reality, or fidelity to an original or a standard. Somebody says, well, is there an original? Is there a standard? Yes, the scriptures. The scriptures. The Lord said, thy word is truth. The scripture claims inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture. It's God-breathed. This is God's book. This is God's revelation of himself. And I've said this so many times, if we don't have this, all we have is my opinion and your opinion. What's that worth? Nothing. Thank God for this revelation, this standard by which we judge whether or not we're hearing the truth. Now, I need to say this. The Bible is not trying to be a science book. You know, some people will always think of objections. Well, what about this scientific fact that seems to contradict the Bible? It seems to not line up with the Bible. Well, for one thing, scientific fact and scientific theory are two different things. A lot of things that are nothing more than theories are presented as facts. For instance, evolution, that's a theory. That's a theory. It's not a fact, it's a theory. You know, the Pope last week declared that the Big Bang theory is fact and that evolution is fact. Oh, huh. Those are theories. They're not fact. They're not scientifically, by the scientific method, proven. And as far as that goes, all things, like I said, I know I'm not a scientist, but people say, well, how, for instance, the Bible teaches the world was created in 6 days and it's only 6,000 years old, and we know for sure that it was 4.5 billion years old. Well, for one thing, you don't know that for sure. You don't know that for sure. All these scientific methods of dating are not positive. And for another thing, you know, the Lord could have created the earth old. It wouldn't be hard for him. You know, we need all these oils and coal and gas and so on, and the Lord could have created it that way. And as far as that goes, who knows what those 6 days mean? I mean, they may be six literal days. The Bible also says one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and it's 1,000 years, it's a day. The Bible says that. So if it is six literal days, fine. I believe that. If it means something else, I believe that too. But here's the point. Everything, no matter how it may be an apparent contradiction, it's going to be found out to line up with the truth of Scripture. Everything will. And let me say this. If the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. All supposed science is going to have to bow to the truth of the Word of God. And it will in the end. I mean, you think of the things people believed. Well, 500 years ago, people believed the earth was flat. That was a fact. So they thought. But it wasn't, was it? And that, look at the advances. Look what they were doing in medicine 200 years ago that was thought to be great things to do. And now we see they're ridiculous. Now everything is going to come to this touchstone, the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. And somebody says, well, that's ignorant. No, it's not. It's true wisdom. Well, that's uneducated. No, it's not. It's true wisdom. The Bible is the Word of God, and I rejoice in that. And we wouldn't know anything without the Scriptures. Thank God for the Scriptures. This, the Lord said, thy word is truth. The Bible is the truth. Here's something even more awesome. Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, what if I said to you, I am the truth? There would never be a bigger lie told than that. If I said to you, I am the truth. If you said it, it would be a lie. Every one of us, every man, is a walking contradiction in so many ways. And that's not something for me or you to say, I'm the truth. It would just be offensive. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth. Without iniquity is he. Now, when he said to Pilate that he came to bear witness to the truth, I've already quoted that, and that's when Pilate said, what is truth? But when he said, I came to bear witness to the truth, he's talking about going to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he manifested the true character of God. There's no knowledge of God apart from the cross. Oh, we can know things about him, but we can't know him without the cross. And the cross is a manifestation of every single one of his attributes. Him nailed to the cross tells the truth about me and you. Now, there's all kinds of things that we feel bad about, feel guilty about, no doubt. But none of that stuff's near as bad as what the cross says about us. We're so evil. So evil that if God left me to myself, I nailed his son to a tree, wanting to take his place. The cross, oh, how the Lord bear witness. The word bear witness is the word that has martyr come from. He bear witness by his death the truth of how God saves sinners wholly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you a scripture that was a blessing to me. Turn with me to Psalm 85. This is actually a couple of verses about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 85. Verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And that's what took place on Calvary's tree. Mercy and truth meeting together. Righteousness and peace kissing one another. God's absolute righteousness and him being at peace with somebody like me through the gospel. Now look at this next verse, 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth. When Christ was raised from the dead, you know what took place? Truth sprang out of the earth. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Christ Jesus, his person and work, is the truth of God. Now, the Bible's the truth. Christ is the truth. And then we read of several times in the New Testament the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. And as a matter of fact, Paul spoke of rebuking Peter that the truth of the gospel might remain. Now, what's he talking about? Now, in Galatians chapter 2, you read that phrase twice, the truth of the gospel. And the first time is with reference to Titus. The Jews wanted Titus to be circumcised. And Paul said no, that the truth of the gospel might remain. And then, later on in the chapter, when Peter is fellowshipping with the Gentiles and some Jewish believers come in and he gets nervous and he feels like I'm going to be displeasing to them. So without saying a word, he just gets up from that table and walks down and sits at another table. And Paul publicly rebuked him and called him a hypocrite in doing that, that the truth of the gospel might remain. Now, what is the truth of the gospel? Now, if Paul submits Titus to circumcision, he's saying Christ is not all, Christ and. If Paul does not rebuke Peter for getting up and going to that other table, so you see, Peter was saying by that action, not by anything he said, but by that action, I'm a little bit more pleasing to God if I'm over here with the Jews. I'm a little bit more acceptable. I'm saved with those Gentiles, but I'm a little bit more saved. I'm a little bit more pleasing by what I do. Now, what that is a denial of is that Jesus Christ is all in salvation. There's nothing you can do to add to that. There's nothing you can do to take from it. He is all. He's all to God. He's all that God is. He's all that God requires. He's all in the Bible. He's all in my salvation. Everything God requires of me. Everything. All. He looks to his son for. And I'm not looking anywhere else. That, my dear friends, is the truth of the gospel. Now, not only is the word truth, not only is Christ truth, not only is the gospel the truth, I like this. Grace. Oh, I love that word. Grace is the truth. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. The law was given by Moses. Now we know God inspired the law, and he mediated it through Moses. And the law was true, but the law was not the truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Those two always go together. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, anything that is not 100% grace is falsehood. Now, I can cut through the chase. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Verse 5. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of what? Grace. And if by grace, if what? If election's by grace. Now this goes through the rest of salvation. If election is by grace, then it's no more of works. Just write that out of your vocabulary. It's no more. If election is of grace, then salvation in no respect is of works. It's just not. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If you put a work in there anywhere, it's not grace. You see, it's either all of grace or all of works. You can't combine the two. It's one or the other. You can't combine them. Every aspect of salvation, this is the truth. There is no truth apart from this. Every aspect of salvation is by grace. The truth is that salvation is all of grace. By grace are you saved. Can you say amen to that? By grace are you saved. Through faith. And that faith, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast, for his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, the Bible's the truth. Christ is the truth. The gospel is the truth. Grace is the truth. And listen to this. There is no worship. There is no worship. No worship of the living God apart from the truth. That's how important this is. The Lord said in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. I don't know what all that means, neither do you. I mean, that means he's not confined to time or space the way we are. He's infinite. He's everywhere at once. He's altogether glorious. God is spirit. Think how confined you are to the flesh. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that means, first of all, you've got to have the Holy Spirit to worship. You've got to be given a nature by the Spirit of God that enables you to worship God. A natural man cannot worship God. A man who is not saved cannot worship God. He cannot. That's why, for instance, our TV program, I never say, come out and worship with us. I'm not going to say that. That's only God can cause somebody to worship. I say, come out and hear the gospel. We want you to come. Come hear the gospel. I'm not going to say, come worship with us, because you have to have the Spirit of God to worship. You will not worship apart from the Spirit of God. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no worship of God apart from the truth of the gospel. Now, people can talk about worship all they want. There is no worship without the truth of the gospel. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, in this thing of worship, you will only worship a sovereign God. A God that you can't manipulate, a God that you can't control, a God that you can't move to do this or that. If you have any ability to manipulate this God and get him to act in response to you, you'll never worship him. You'll only worship a God in whose hand you are, and he can do with you whatever he's pleased to do. There's no worship apart from that. I think of that leper. That leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That's worship. That's worship. Somebody said, we had a worship service. I doubt it. I doubt it. The Syrophoenician woman heard the Lord say to her, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what the scripture said she did? Then came she and worshiped. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Do you have any confidence in your flesh? I don't. I don't. I don't have any confidence in mine. I don't have any confidence in yours either. Oh, what confidence we have in him. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see this because it's such an important verse of Scripture. Have your loins girt about with truth. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, people that God has set his love on, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. But don't stop there. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now there are two things that cannot be separated. Sanctification of the Spirit. That's regeneration. That's the work of God in your heart, giving you a new heart. The sanctification of the Spirit. What's the evidence of it? Belief of the truth. You can't have one without the other. Where you have real belief of the truth, you have sanctification of the Spirit. And where you have the sanctification of the Spirit, you have the belief of the truth. God always uses the truth to beget life. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us, birthed he us through the word of truth. There's no begetting without the word of truth. No truth, no life, no one has ever been the object of the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. No one has ever been born of the Spirit apart from the truth. Now listen to me, God never uses error. Never. Aren't you putting God in a box? You're not going to be putting God in a box, but God's going to act according to his nature. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Well, couldn't God use error if he wanted to? No, because it's against his nature. God only uses the truth to beget life, the truth of the gospel. Now, think of these words, salvation. That's a big word, isn't it? Salvation, being saved from your sins. Salvation is defined. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he'll have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, does that mean all men without exception? Well, look in the context. Pray for all men, all types of men. Those are in authority. Then he names several different kinds of men. The all is all who believe, all who are saved by his grace. They come to a knowledge of the truth, a saving knowledge of the truth. Not just accurate doctrine. It's a saving knowledge. Repentance. Repentance is called in 2 Timothy 2:25, if God peradventure would grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You've not repented if there's not a full embracing of the truth. You don't even know what repentance is until there's an embracing of the truth. Faith, believing Christ, believing God, is called in Titus 1:3, the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now, that doesn't mean it leads to godliness. It means it comes from godliness. That's where the acknowledging of the truth comes from, when God does something for you and you believe the truth. There is no salvation. There is no repentance. There is no faith without the truth. Now, is it any wonder that Paul mentions the truth as the first piece of armor? And you can't get any of the rest of the armor on without the truth. Now, you remember that woman that had an issue of blood 12 years, and she spent all she had on quack physicians, and the scripture says she grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. And then she hears of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she comes in the press on her hands and knees, knowing, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. What a view she had of Christ. That's how high she viewed him. Truth is how high you view him. That's truth. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. And after that she did touch him and felt she had been healed, the Lord said, who touched me? He knew exactly who touched him. Who touched me? And the scripture says that the woman, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. All the truth. Now the truth is whole. What's 99% true? A lie. All the truth. If you know the truth, you will tell all the truth. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. You're real close. Well, you're already there. 2 Thessalonians. Verse 9. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the truth that they might be saved. I didn't quote that right, did I? It says they received not what? The love of the truth. Now, if you have reasonable intelligence, you don't even have to have that. You can see that the Bible teaches that God is sovereign. If you read what the Bible says, He's the first cause of everything. You can see that men are dead in sins. You can read and find out that God has indeed elected a people and Christ died for the elect and God's grace is irresistible and invincible. God's people will persevere. You read the Bible and you'll come up with that. Now you might deny, but if you read it openly, you'll come up with that. But do you know that's not the love of the truth? Somebody says, well, I see the Bible does teach that. No, it's not just receiving the truth, it's receiving the love of the truth. Do you love who God is? Do you love that God is sovereign and absolute control of everything and you wouldn't want it to be any other way? Being taught that you are totally depraved, do you love that God elected a people and you know you wouldn't be saved if He didn't? Do you love that Christ is a complete Savior and that He accomplished salvation? He didn't leave anything undone. We don't sing Jesus paid a half, the other half I owe. We sing Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Do you love that salvation is by irresistible, invincible grace? You love the fact that God's people are preserved so that they persevere. It's not just saying, yeah, I see, the Bible teaches that. I remember one time, this actually happened in my home. Somebody said, I see the Bible teaches that, but that doesn't mean I like it. Well, I do. I love it. I love what the Bible reveals regarding the gospel. What commends a man as speaking for God? Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I've got two more. Second Corinthians 4. Therefore, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What is it that commends a man as speaking for God? Open manifestation of the truth. Not trying to hide it with wisdom of words, not trying to make it less offensive, just the manifestation of the truth of who God is and how He saves sinners by His blessed Son. The truth of the Scripture. The truth that Christ is all. One last scripture, turn to John 8. Verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, not just begin, but continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. You don't just begin, you continue in His word, the word of truth, the word of the gospel, the word of His grace. You continue in His word. And look what it says in verse 32. And you shall know the truth. Now that answers every objection. How can you know the truth? Well, the Lord said you shall know the truth. And your knowledge of the truth is what will set you free. Not at all. Not at all. I know the truth. I know I'm preaching the truth. But it's not my knowledge of the truth that saves me. It's the truth himself that sets me free, that makes me free. Not my knowledge of the truth. I love that passage in Galatians 4:9 where Paul said, now that you've known God, he said, scratch that. Rather, are known of God. That's my hope. His knowledge of me. That's all my hope. His knowledge of me. You shall know the truth. And it's not your knowledge of the truth that makes you free. How many times do you become settled and then someday, or some, maybe an hour later, think, what if all this isn't even true? What if I'm not, what if none of this is true? And it's all, I mean, you've done that. I've done that. It's not my knowledge of the truth that makes me free. It's the truth himself who makes me free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't you be entangled in that yoke of bondage. Salvation by works. That's all it is a yoke of bondage. If the Son shall make you free, and that's what he did on Calvary's tree, when he said, it is finished, all of God's elect were freed. Freed. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, there's no putting on of that breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness. There's no having your feet shod with the readiness, the preparedness of the gospel of peace. There is no shield. There is no helmet of salvation. As a matter of fact, you don't even know what the sword of the Spirit is. You may know what it's defined to be, but you don't even know what it is until we first have our loins girt with truth. The truth of the gospel. May the Lord cause us to see so clearly that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the truth. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for the truth of your word. How we thank you that your Son is the truth, and that your gospel is the truth, and your grace is the truth. Your word is the truth. Lord, we ask that we might be sanctified by your Spirit in believing the truth. Lord, enable us to be girt with the truth, this belt of truth that will cause us to put on all these other pieces of armor. Bless this message for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Dwayne, come lead us in closing hymn.